The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I do want to talk about this research from CyberSafe Kids today. I know Pat Kenny, the aforementioned, was mentioning it on his show, talking about it rather on his show today. Eight-year-olds in disadvantaged areas twice as likely to have a smartphone compared to eight-year-olds in more well-off, more salubrious parts of the country. Our reporter Megan O'Halloran has been speaking to people on the streets of Dublin to ask them what age do they think it's okay to give a kid a smartphone.
I would say actually as late as possible. Really it should be 16 and up. I know that's almost impossible, but I don't think anything under the age of 16 they really understand what they're doing online.
I personally think they should be no younger than 12. I got my first one when I was 12 going into secondary school, and I think it was time enough. So I just think there's some stuff on the internet nowadays that like kids shouldn't be seeing, and it's not censored anymore either, that they can just be watching whatever they want. I think it's, well, like, they're kids as well, they should be outside playing and doing all the stuff that we did growing up. So,
you know, some people would say that there's a bit of pressure on parents to kind of, from other kids having phones, and when someone's saying they have a phone, yeah. I don't. What would you say there?
I think, like, as you know yourself with your child, like, every child is different as well. I know a girl who, she's the only girl in her whole class who doesn't have a phone, and the parents still won't let her have one, and I think it's right, because at the end of the day, she's 10 years old.
A phone, like, maybe just being able to call your mum and dad, probably about 9 or 10, maybe. It depends on kind of where you live. Like, when I was growing up, I lived on a main road, so I had to hang around in like a little housing estate just up the road from me. But I would have been out of sight for my mum and dad. Well, when I was a kid, you didn't have, there was no such thing as touch phones. It was just like
the blip people, phone,
yeah, the flip ones, yeah. So that's what I would have had, but they had no access to internet or that. And I think now, they can access an awful lot very quickly and very easily. So if you talk of smartphones like social media, well, then probably 15 or 16.
Yeah, that was Megan O'Halloran speaking to people on the streets of Dublin. Vicky Barron, the Labour councillor, was with us a little bit earlier, and she is back. She's a principal of the CBS Primary School here in Wexford, and Trevor Murphy is with her, founder of Kids Coder Club and the CEO of cyberschool.ie. You're both very welcome, Vicky. Thanks for being back with us. And Trevor, it's good to see you as
Thanks,
well. Were you surprised when you saw this in the newspapers this morning, Trevor?
100% not. During COVID, and that's 5 years ago, I was asked to go in and help some schools, and even then I was working with third class, and 80% of third class had smartphones.
No way.
I think the part that jumped out with me, which shocked me today in this report, was that 50% of the 80% have social media accounts at 8 years of age.
Now, they're not meant to now, are they?
No, they're not. The digital age of consent in Ireland is 16, Kieran. So
okay.
They're not meant to. They're not meant to.
Now, it's very hard, though, to impose that once you hand over the smartphone, isn't it?
Once Pandora's box is opened, it's hard to put the lid back on it.
And how do they manage that in other jurisdictions?
Parents say no.
Okay. Is that what we're bad at here?
That is the case. If a parent says no, an eight-year-old can't demand something. Now, what we see is the pressures of the child coming home and saying, I'm the only one in the class that doesn't have it. It puts a pressure on the parent. Vicky's going to be well aware, and she'll tell you her first-hand experience of it, but I work with lots of different schools, and they say, Trevor, how do we deal with this? So set up a WhatsApp group. Stand together. So you know that your child isn't the only one who hasn't got a phone.
So let me ask, is there big differences between schools? Do you know about, you have a school where, like, that statistics you mentioned is flipped on its head, because early on, a group of parents were able to get together and start an opposition.
It's all about parent engagement at that age.
Yeah.
And where we've seen working in different localities, what we've seen is, unfortunately for some principals that will run, it might have 400 students in it. They ask us to come in and do a parent talk. Five parents, 1% might turn up.
Mm.
And the 1% already has the knowledge and is doing it. And Vicky's here beside me nodding. So again, I think even next year, what we're all working for is parent engagement and education.
Yeah, Vicky, maybe I'm naive, and I expressed a bit of surprise, even though Trevor wasn't surprised at all at the statistics. I'm lucky in our school, there hasn't been that proliferation of phones. And it's nothing to do with me as a parent. It's probably parents who came before us who managed to kind of club together and have held them at bay. But I can't imagine it's an easy task. Is it even possible, once the Rubicon has crossed, to go backwards? Once the kids all have them, I mean, how do you take them out of their hands?
We really need to dig down into this argument, because a phone is a phone.
And while you might say there's no proliferation of phones, there is a proliferation of internet access through gaming and through tablets.
Yes.
So the children have access to that. So while the mobile phone ban is an interesting facet to it, we still see in schools the Apple Watches that are coming in with very young children. The mobile phones, yes, it's very obvious that there's, you know, there's online access, but there's also huge problems with very young children engaging in online gaming with people because it's cool to do Fortnite or play Fortnite and they're on it at night and they're engaging with people and, oh yeah, it's a friend of mine, I know who this is, but they don't understand. Our children do not have the capacity to understand social media or the wider online environment, and that is really important because we are in danger of losing a generation of children here, and we really need to step up. It's not necessarily about phones, it's about access, unsupervised access to the internet in all its forms and guidance.
Yeah, so you didn't just say access, unsupervised access. It's not necessarily that you kind of you tell them it doesn't exist or you shield them from access entirely.
No, like, we need to accept the internet is an absolutely wonderful resource. A wonderful resource. Everything you want to know is there. But as a parent, everything you don't want your child to know is also there.
Yeah.
So if you aren't, and I have to be honest, it's not okay that a device is in a bedroom or that you're in the kitchen and your child is in the sitting room. You need to be supervising and seeing what they're actually on. You need to be able to talk to them about it, because as Trevor will tell you, the amount of children who've had, they've come across something that's frightened them or scared them, they won't tell mom and dad, because 100%. The fear is that they will actually lose the device.
Correct.
And then we're into this problem with, if you're off the chat that's happening outside of school hours in the evenings, you miss out on everything, because what happens on that comes into school the next day, good and bad.
Yes.
So what we find in education is that we're dealing with the fallout of some things. I'll give you an example. Some poor child puts up a comment, and because they mightn't realise, they might mean it in a certain way. And we've all seen this. We've read an email, we've read a text, and we went, well, what do they mean by that? So if you've got a group of children who aren't ready for this, and they're piling on, and next minute, a child is accused of bullying, which the poor child probably didn't mean that at all, but everyone decides to be offended because, let's live it, we live in a culture where we have to be outraged at everything.
Yeah.
And our children are seeing that. So that comes into school, the child is ostracised, everyone is saying, well, they wrote this. But when you dig down into it, nobody, they're all putting their own spin on it. And drama in the world of an 8-year-old is the way to be.
I would have been in a group, Trevor, who would have said, you know, listening to someone like Vicky talking the way she has, that you just say no, absolutely no access to any of this stuff until a certain point. And then kind of friends of ours who have a child with additional needs and mobility issues talk about how amazing online access is for their kid. While their peers are out playing football and he can't do it, they absolutely have this whole world opened up to him through the likes of Fortnite and what have you. Yeah. And it caused me maybe to rethink it a little bit and not be so snooty about, you know, online gaming, that this was kind of his world and it's actually been incredible for him. So how then do you allow for that? How do you realise that that's this and this is going to be reality for them, but manage it don't have all the stuff Vicky's talking about happening?
As Vicky has said, the internet possibly could be one of the greatest inventions ever for us to learn as human beings and to progress our learning. So as parents, we do want our kids using it, but in a proactive way. And you're asking the question, how do we can use apps to monitor, parenting safeguards. But the one thing you can be sure about, the child will circumnavigate that.
They will.
To me, 100%, it lies with foundational education and happening in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel sorry for principals who have budgets and they're not getting it supported by the government and some things. Now, we know there has been a change and we're hoping that there will be a change. I think 9 million recently announced on smart pouches.
Pouches, yeah.
But schools,
not just pouches, say, now they say.
There is more to it, but just say
other things.
Things as well. But I think as well, like, Vicky has to find the money out of her budget to bring somebody in to do it.
But that lack of engagement you talked about, Trevor, that, you know,
and there's the other problem.
Parents might turn
the other problem.
I mean, that doesn't speak too well to parents regard for all of this.
Any service vendor who's in this area really has to look at it and work with schools. And what we're doing through computing at schools and cybersafety.ie is parent engagement. And that's really our emphasis this year. So homework going home, because parents do have to correct us. Looking at having talks with them via online, we will try anything. And even even Ciarán, as we try things with one or two schools, we talked about homework passes for parents that Vicky's laughing, that if they attended, their kids got homework passes. Now the rates shot up, but the ones that didn't go, there was murders. And guess whose poor door they were knocking on? Principals again. Yeah. Took it in the neck. So I'm very empathetic towards principals. It's primary school. I always call them the poor relative of the secondary school.
Very much so.
You know, they struggle for everything. They're heating, their budgets on everything. And then to have the autonomy where the government don't lead truly a programme that really helps them. I think as well, Ciarán, the difficulty is if they do it in-house and they get it wrong, now the burden and onus is back on themselves.
Vicky, can I ask you then, and this is such a fascinating conversation, we could talk about it all afternoon, but just that one aspect as well that I mentioned at the outset of this survey as well, about the difference between kids in disadvantaged areas and kids in better off backgrounds. How do you interpret that?
Again, look, the data, in my experience of working with the Department of Education, the data can be spun how you want it. I believe that's genuine, but we must also acknowledge that 50% of children who are designated disadvantaged attend non-disadvantaged schools. Mm. It's just a DESH school is a school that has maybe a higher concentration. But we must also acknowledge the way the department allocate DESH, which is a whole other programme, doesn't mean that an awful lot of schools are outside the parameters of that. We need to look at why are children being given mobile phones. Is it a babysitting tool? Like, we also need to acknowledge, look, childcare is a huge issue. You need to go out to work. You want someone to mind your children. The easiest, most convenient way, and we have to acknowledge that, is your child to sit in front of a mobile phone and play a game. Mm-hmm. However, the problem with that is what we're seeing is children coming into junior infants, they have great fine motor skills and thumb movement, but their actually core skills, their core strength is lacking. It's not what it should be, and it's not what it would have been years ago. We're seeing a lack of resilience in our primary school children because everything is instant.
Yeah.
Everything is instant. When they're put out of a game, the fallout, the absolute devastation of a child who has been in, and I use Fortnite, and I'm sorry to name it, but it's just that's what's coming to me. They've been in a game, their friends all get together, so they're in a party and they go and play a game, and then there's down to the last two or three, and then they'll shoot him or her, and they're gone. But the devastation, like, our children are not emotionally mature enough, no matter what they say, to engage in an online world.
But for Vicky, and sorry for interrupting, that comes from outside the school environment into Vicky's domain and stops the education element of it.
It does.
And we even saw New York City, and this is going to be very interesting to follow, are suing, and that's why I'm looking at this, I'm very interested, to tech companies. So fair use, Amanda, because of the detrimental effect it is having on children's education and their mental well-being. And we saw as well tech anxiety with young children, young teenagers being on Xanax, prescribed Xanax. Well, now, lads, our world is changing to a point that we have to sit up and
So can I just come in on the argument about children needing to contact parents?
Yeah,
there are Nokias.
Briefly,
if you need to contact your parents, you can phone them. You don't need access to the entire online world on your smartphone, on a phone.
Yeah, listen, Vicky, thanks a million for coming into us. Vicky Barron is the Labour Councillor and Principal at CBS Primary School here in the town. And Trevor Murphy, the founder of Kids Coder Club and the CEO of cyberschool.ie. Trevor, listen, thank you very, very much
as well. Thank you, Ciarán.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciarán Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.